Amen. All right. Did these guys do a good job? Amen. They all right. Well, happy Easter. Welcome to North Point. We're going to look at Easter today and hopefully in a kind of a different light. We're going to look at it in 3D. Now, I don't go to the movies much. I can't hardly sit still for 2 hours. But I really, when I like to go, I like for it to be 3D. The last movie I went to was The Hobbit. And I'll even pay the little extra for the 3D because I don't go that much. And there's so much difference in the 3D in my mind. I'll tell a little bit about my age, but, you know, I started off, you know, when I was young, we had a black and white TV and for a long time. And then I remember going to 4-H camp and I saw True Grit. You remember Rooster Cogburn? You know, fill your hand. I better cut it off right there. But I remember it being in color. I'd never seen color before. You know, and I came back and suggested a color TV to my dad. He said, go turn the antenna, boy. No. So, but I remember watching the color and you know, black and white, you get the facts of the story. You get the facts and you know it and you understand it. But then when I got to watch it in color, the story comes alive. But when you watch something in 3D, man, you're in. It becomes your story. You know, stuff like flies out at you. And you get to be in the story and you feel like you're part of the story. And I was thinking, a lot of times that's why people don't get excited about Easter, is that they've never seen it in 3D. They've only seen it one dimensional. You know, they got just the facts. You know, they got just the black and white. Yeah, I got the facts, you know, but you know, I know the facts and I accept the facts, but just don't get excited about the whole message of the resurrection. And that's what the elders and I were talking about Wednesday. We were excited about the resurrection. Because the truth is that what happened, you know, a little over 2,000 years ago, split history. I mean, split history. It was the most important event in history. Nothing comes close to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every other date in history is dated according to this event. Your birthday, everything, every other that to this event. It was either before his the year of our Lord or after his death. It split history. So Easter is actually a three-dimensional event. And that's what I want to talk about today. The proof of his power, the promise of his power, or the proof of his resurrection and the promise of his resurrection and the power of the resurrection. And I want to talk about that today. You know, it's whether it's past event or our future expectations or our present power that we can experience in our own life. And that present power will change your life and mine. So today we're beginning a new series that we're going to go. It's going to take us about a month, I guess, to get through it. That is called This Life That You Were Meant to Live. Because you and I, we were made for so much more. The life that you and I are living right now probably is just a fraction of what God has in store for us. And that's exciting. You say, well, Jim, I'm living a good life. you know, I'm looking good. I'm feeling good, and I got the goods. Well, you know, the problem with the good life that I understand when I talk to people is that it's just not good enough. It's just not good enough. Why? Because I know a lot of people living the good life and they're still dissatisfied. They haven't found what they're looking for. I want to tell you that there's something better than the good life. It's called the better life. But you can't live the better life until you're plugged into the power. And that's what we're going to talk about the next month, the power. And so for the next few minutes, I'm not going to keep you long here today. I want you to listen as though your life depended on it. And not because of my message, but because I believe it does. When we talk about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's look at the resurrection. The proof of the resurrection. You know, Jesus made some outrageous claims. He said, "I am God." He said, "I'm the only way to heaven." He said, "I am the truth." He said, "I am the life." He said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." He said, "I'm the door to heaven." This is some outrageous claims. Outrageous claims. But he said, "You know what? I'm going to show you a way, and I'm going to do something so that you will know that my claims are true." He said, "I'm going to let them put me to death." He said, "Guys, I'm going to die. Then I'm going to let them bury me." He said, "Because if I just died for 5 minutes, that would be a resuscitation." He said, "But I'm going to die for 3 days. I'm going to let them bury me, and then I'm going to bring myself back to life, and then you will know." Now, he said this several times. And the first time he said it, he kind of eased him into it. He told it to him in metaphors. And then as he told it, he became clearer and clearer. I want to look at some of them real quick. And I put them in your Bible, in your outline. And I wrote them in there. But I want to look at them real quick. Matthew, what's the first one? Matthew 12, 39 through 40. Let me get there. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now let's look at what he told them a little more. I wrote it down, Matthew 17, 22 and 23. He gets clearer. He says, "When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life.' And the disciples were filled with grief." Now let's go on over into Matthew 20, 18 and 19. I put John in there. I don't think I'll read it. We'll go back and look it up. Matthew 20, 18 and 19 says this. "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Now, I love that because he got clearer and clearer and clearer, and he got into details. He says the resurrection, the proof of the resurrection will prove who I am and what I said I am is true. Write this down in your blank up there. I kind of got ahead of myself. Jesus proved he was God. Jesus proved he was God. He allowed them to kill him. He died. He was buried. And he rose in 3 days. The whole world at this time had heard Jesus' claims. Just about the entire world had heard his claims. And so after that, they killed him. The guys who killed him, the Pharisees, went to the Roman conqueror, you know, the Roman governor, Pilate, and told him, "Sir, we remember, you know, what this deceiver, Jesus, once said." He said, "After 3 days, I will be raised to life from the dead." He said, "So, Your Honor, please seal the tomb for us." And he said, "This will prevent his disciples from stealing his body." Now, really, this is not a bad plan if you were a Pharisee. You know, he said, "We don't want that to come. We don't want that to happen," you know, and the disciples tell us, you know, "Yeah, he rose from the, steal his body, and he rose from the dead, and we saw him, but you can't see him." But so they tell him, say, "Seal the tomb." And so Pilate says, "Okie dokie." He sealed it. He not only sealed it, but he posted guards over the tomb. You know, I just thought it was always funny that he posted live soldiers over a dead man. You know, and you got to really see that. You know, if they didn't believe what he said, they were so, but they posted live soldiers over a dead man because they didn't want Jesus coming out or his disciples going in. Amen? So they put that on there, and but Jesus kept his word. That's why we're celebrating today. That's why we wear the pastels. That's why we're here today. We're celebrating his resurrection. And he proved that he was God. He proved that when he said, "I am God, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the resurrection. No one comes to the Father except through me." He proved what he said. By he's alive. Man. And then he stayed on earth for like 40 days, and he was seen by lots of different people. He wasn't a ghost or a hologram, you know. I mean, he hugged people. He had supper with folks. He even fixed supper for Peter and some of the other guys, you know. He was real. Acts 1:3, we're mad. I'll have to look it up. We got time. Y'all in the early service. Says, "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." This ain't no hologram. He was alive for 40 days. Then look at your outline, 1 Corinthians. Look what Paul says. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and then he was raised from the dead on the third day. He was seen by Peter and then the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. He had a party. 500 people at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died by now. Then he was seen by James and later by all the disciples. Last of all, Paul said, "I saw him too. I saw him too." I mean, Paul goes through and gives him a list of all these people that saw him. We're not talking about a couple of people. We're talking about 500 at one time. You know, I don't know how many people saw him, but we know at least 512. Just a whole bunch of people. And I want to tell you when Paul wrote this. Right before Paul wrote this, Paul hated Christians. Paul had a life of persecuting Christians, sending them to death. And then all of a sudden, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. You know why? He saw him after he died. I would believe too. He saw him after he died. And the church really grew in these 40 days because of this conclusive proof. All these eyewitnesses. Guys, if we doubt something that, you know, 800 or 900 witnesses have seen, you got a problem. You don't want to believe it. There's plenty of proof. The fact is, it split history. It split history, and billions of lives have been changed because Jesus Christ proved who he said he was. Man. But then that's the problem, because that's about all people know about Easter, the facts, the one-dimensional black and white. And really, that's just one-third of the story. That's just the tip of the iceberg, that Jesus died, he rose again, and that he was who he said he was. But the resurrection was so much more than that. It was so much more than that. Look at the next dimension. We're the promised. We're going to be in color now. This is the promise of the resurrection. You know what it is, the promise? Is that Jesus will resurrect me. That he will resurrect you. Now we're in color. Oh, man. This is the promise of the resurrection, that it's going to happen in the future. Because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Write that down. Jesus will resurrect me. I just love writing it down. You know, if you got to do it again, do it again. Jesus will resurrect me. And when I found that out, I'm like, now that gets my attention. Not only did he get resurrected, but because he resurrected, I am also resurrected. Ooh, in color. He not only proved that there's life after death, but now he says, I'm offering it to you. We in color. Death is no longer the end. If you trust in him, death is just a transition. It is not an ending. Guys, one day your heart, my heart will stop, and it will be the end of our body, but it will not be the end of you. You are built for eternity, either heaven or hell. It's our choice, but you are built for eternity. You will last forever. John 11:25, look what Jesus said. And he done proved who he said he was now. This is the promise. I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live again. Ooh, I'm in color. Guys, without him, we have zero chance of resurrecting. But Jesus proved it. There is an eternity. There is a hereafter. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. And what? He will also raise us. We in color. He's going to raise us. I like that because I can see it. You see, you don't have to do good to get to heaven. You don't have to earn your way into heaven. You don't have to work your way into heaven. Because heaven's perfect. And you and I, we ain't. We ain't perfect. None of us are perfect. But God has this plan of salvation, that salvation is not earned, but it's a gift. And that God gives it to you. And Jesus paid for it on the cross. And if you trust him and accept him, and guess what? You ain't got to keep yourself saved. Look at 1 Peter 3. It says, now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you are trusting him. It is reserved once you trust in him. It is, you have a reservation in heaven when you believe in him. You know, you can lose everything else in life, but you cannot lose your salvation once you've received him and accepted him and trusted him as your Savior. You have a reservation. Once it has been given to you. Why can't you lose it? Because you ain't keeping it. This verse says he's keeping it. God has it for us. Ooh, I saw it in color. It doesn't depend on my power, but in his mighty power. Say it with me. God does the keeping. God does the keeping. I know here on earth that some of our expectations don't always happen. But the reason it don't on earth, because this earth is a broken planet. There's sin in it. Nothing works perfectly. Nothing works perfectly. The anticipation of going somewhere is always greater than the actual event. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Nothing's never as good as it's cracked up to be, is it? Man, I get so excited when I'm ready to go to Florida, Disneyland. I get real excited. I can't hardly sleep. You know, I tweet about it and everything else. And then when I finally get there, I'm so excited I can't sleep, drive the whole way. I'm really just keyed up. Then when I got to Disneyland, I was ready to go. I saw all the stuff, you know, the animals, Mickey and all them walking around. And I'm like a kid. I got to watch because I was there, you know, and then all I could picture was, you know, just riding the rides, having a good time. But guess what? I had to wait in line. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Got a turkey leg for $15. You know, nothing. y'all been there, ain't you? But nothing is as good as it's cracked up to be. Except for one thing, heaven. That's right, Holly. The Bible says the expectation of heaven will not disappoint us. Woo! We in color! Because it's eternal. It's eternal. Now we got to go to the third dimension. I'm excited about the third dimension. Jesus offers his power to me every day. That's you fill in the blank. I forgot to prime that, but Jesus offers his power to me every day. That's the third dimension of the resurrection. That's the power of the resurrection. Guys, this is transformational because it gives us the power to work on the problems that we have in life right now. Right now. You know, you may not rely on it, but that is your problem. Jesus offers to you the same power that raised him from the dead. And it's available to you. Let that sink in. In 3D. Now I got my glasses on. Now stuff's coming at me. That I got the same power. But I choose to not access it. Many of you have commented on my haircut this morning. Let me just tell you a little bit about my haircut. I made a decision this morning to cut my own hair. I hadn't found these glasses in a week. I didn't like my other glasses, so I made another decision not to go look for my glasses. That I would just pick a guard without looking. You know the guard that goes on the Clippers? Another bad decision. That wasn't too bad of a decision in itself was when the next one I made, the third decision, I made the decision to start in the middle. Once I saw what I had done, I quickly made the decision. I was pretty well committed. So I finished my hair up like this. you know. Well, you know, Tammy tried to make me feel good. She said, oh, it'll grow back. While David was finishing cutting some spots, I missed. But I was kind of laughing at myself. You just got to laugh. And I was laughing at myself, and I reached to get on my way here. I was going to stop and get the mail for the church. And guess what I saw in the console right beside me? My glasses. And I thought, those have been beside me all week. And I didn't know where they were. And I quickly deduced that his power is the same way. His power's been beside me all week, and I failed to get it. And I failed to open it up. And I've had that power. Well, now I got the consequences. It'll grow back. You know what I said? As I sat there and I saw those glasses, I said, glory! Glory! Daily. You know why I said 3D? I'm in the story. I'm in the story. Every day in my life, Jesus Christ is so, his power is so close to me. It's so available to me. I'm in the story. I got these glasses on. I'm 3D. The power of the resurrection. He's alive. He's alive. Isn't it awesome? We just got to access the power. This power is it. You know, how do you know? Because most Christians walk through life and haven't accessed the power. How do you know you haven't accessed the power? Well, remember, it's the four F's. I thought about it a long time ago, and I thought we'd go real quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But there's four F's. When you know you don't have an access for the power, you experience fear. You experience frustration. You experience fatigue. You experience failure. That's when you know you have an access to the power, because we're not plugged into the power. Even when it's right beside you, even when it's saying, take me, we don't access it. But we got to plug in. We can't live a better life without being plugged into the power. Guys, if we ain't plugged into the power, we're going to be frustrated. There's going to be a lot of things that we want to change in our life, but we can't. We're also going to get fatigued. You know why we're going to get fatigued? Because you're running on your own power. You're running on your own battery. You're juggling too many things. You're going to get fearful. There's going to be a lot of things that you can't control, past, future, and present. All you can do is just mess up today. And guess what? Then you're going to experience failure. What does that mean? No matter how hard you try, your best ain't good enough. You still don't get the job. You know, you still don't get the promotions. You still don't win the game. Those four things prove that you're still in the good life, but not the better life. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:15. I done got excited and forgot where I was at. Jesus included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. A resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Guys, it says there's a far better life, a far better life when we're plugged into the power. Look at Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul said, I want to know. I want to know. What is the power of the resurrection? Like I said, I'm going to spend the whole next month talking about this, but I'm going to give you a little teaser today, because I'm hoping that you'll be able to come back to one of the services. But the power, number one, is to be able to let go of your past. Most folks are stuck there, whether it's grief or guilt or grudges, habits, hurts, our hang-ups. Secondly, the power of the resurrection is the power to start over. You know, we all mess up. God says you can do, you can be an etch-a-sketch. Y'all know what an etch-a-sketch is? God says you can take, you can look at your life, you can look at your screw-ups, you can mess, you can take your mess-ups and you can go like this. Amen? Say, I want to be an etch-a-sketch. We're going to start over. Now do this. All right. We got the power to start over through the resurrection. And guess what else we got the power? We got the power to keep going. We got the power to keep going because we get his energy. Then we have the power to change your life. Guys, willpower doesn't work. You can live the good life with willpower, but you can't live the better life. Not with willpower. It takes God's power. There's four characteristics to the better life, and I capitalize them. I think they're capitalized. Yeah, in the next scripture, Ephesians 3. I was excited when I was writing this. I was typing it, and I forgot to. I didn't know if I did or not, but I did. May you experience. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more. I said three characteristics that you're going to get. Isn't that something? This happens in the third dimension. When in the 3D, guys, there's a big difference between a full schedule and a fulfilled life. The life you were meant to live is a better life. You're going to feel completely loved by Christ all the time. You're going to feel him smiling on you. You're going to feel it. Secondly, you're going to enjoy the fullness of it. And this scripture says you're going to experience God's power in your life. And I guess there was a number four. You're going to accomplish infinitely more than you realized, than you even thought you could. Infinitely more. Whew. I'm telling you, I know you're wondering, Jim, how do I get this better life? I want this better life. How do I do it? How do I get the full benefits of Jesus' resurrection? Real quick, number one, accept the proof. Accept the proof that I just told you about. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's just saying I believe Jesus is who he said he was. He said he was the Son of God, now I believe. The second is believe the promise. John 3:16, one of the best known. Me and Mike were talking about it this morning. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Accept the promise. Believe the promise, accept it. And the third thing you do is count on his power on a daily basis. Count on his power on a daily basis. Now, I don't know about you of what everything that you're going through, but I know life's tough. Everybody has problems. I don't know what you brought here today. I want to tell you, Paul was distressed. He was depressed. He was discouraged. And how did Paul do it? He plugged into his power, the power that Jesus Christ offered him. And 2 Corinthians 1 says this, I think you ought to know about the hard time we went through in Asia. He's talking to the Lord. He says, we were really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we would never live through it. Well, actually, he's talking to people of Corinth about what the Lord done. He says, we felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But look here, but that was good. I like that transition there, but that was good. For then, see, we were crushed, we were overwhelmed, we were powerless. He said, but that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God who alone could save us. For he can even raise the dead. And he did help us and saved us. And we expect him to do it again and what? again. I like that second again. Because that's that etch a sketch. We're going to do it again. He's going to do it again and again and again and again. And he says he's got the power. Man. Only one condition with God's power in our life. We got to admit we need it. We got to admit we need it. God don't give his power to the prideful. God don't give his power to the arrogant. Humility. Humble people get the power. Humble. Humility gets the power. Guys, I want to tell you, if I could ever tell you one thing that you leave with anything today, is that God specializes in bringing back to life dead stuff. Dead stuff. I want to ask you, what is dead in your life? Guys, if God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead marriage. If God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead job. If God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead career. If God can raise a dead person, he can raise a dead relationship. God can do anything through the power of the resurrection. Real quick, do you know what a symbol of what we're talking about today, this Easter's 3D? Baptism. I got it. It's symbolic of this Easter in 3D. It's the door that opens up these things. But I want to tell you, baptism is far more important than you realize. It's a symbol of accepting this proof and this promise and this power of God in your life. And I'm not talking about being baptized when you're a baby. I'm talking about being baptized after you've made your commitment. You made this commitment, this death, burial, and a resurrection. You know, baptism is like this ID card of Christians. It's saying, I'm not ashamed. And like I said earlier, if you want to be baptized today, you know, be making that decision right now, because when we close, you need to come up to me and we'll have a baptism. I got some extra clothes if you need them back there. You know, if you can wear a waist size 25, you'll be fine. Luke 9:26, you know, look at this where it says the idea of a Christian is not ashamed. Luke 9:26, Jesus said this, if anyone is ashamed to identify with me and my words, I will be ashamed of that person when I come in my glory with all the holy angels. Guys, don't keep it a secret. Don't keep it a secret. My baptism shows that I accept the promise. Look at Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. My baptism says that I will count on his power. Look at the next one. When we're baptized, we're buried with Christ and share his death. So just as Christ was raised from the dead by the wonderful power of the Father, we also can live a new life. A new life. A better life. So if you've never been baptized, do it today. Do it today. Before we close, I want to tell you that we're going to be sharing communion next week. I'm excited about that. I'm real excited about that. If you've made a decision to be baptized, after we pray, I want to read this prayer that I wrote out here. And come quickly. Tate, if you guys will come on up, I'm going to read this prayer. Dear Jesus, I want to enjoy the full benefit of your death and resurrection for me. Thank you for what you did. I accept the proof that you are the Son of God. And I accept your promise of forgiveness and eternal life, because you are the only one who paid for my sins. You deserve to be the Lord of my life. I need your power, the power of the resurrection in my life on a daily basis. I want to get to know you and learn how to rely on your power so I can live the better life.
the life that I was meant to live. Please come into my life and change me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me and sing?